RTE Radio 1 Sport with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Time for sport now. Des Cahill is with us, and the world is really talking about one man this morning, Des. Diego Maradona.
Indeed, his death at the age of 60, despite the fact that he had been in ill health, shocked a lot of people. The tributes, though, from all over the world are extraordinary. The Argentina and Barcelona captain Lionel Messi said he has left us, but he isn't going anywhere. Diego is eternal. Now, the club in Italy, Napoli, where Maradona played from 84 to 91. And remember, Napoli have not used the number 10 shirt he wore for the last 20 years as a tribute to him. They said, "Everyone is waiting for our words, but what words could we possibly use for a pain such as this? Now is the moment for tears. Then there will be the moment for words. We are in mourning. We feel like a boxer who has been knocked out. A devastating blow for both city and club." Pele said, "For sure, one day we will kick a ball together in heaven." His former Barcelona teammate Bernd Schuster had an interesting comment. He said Maradona was a leader on the pitch. Opponents dished out the ugliest of tackles to him, but he never stopped asking for the ball. We didn't know how to make the most of Diego at Barcelona. At times, we left him alone on the pitch. And the Manchester City coach Pep Guardiola said there was a banner in Argentina that said, "No matter what you have done with your life, Diego, what matters is what you have done for our lives." And Guardiola is saying what he did for Napoli and for Argentina in 86 was something unbelievable, a once in a generation. And we've more on that in just a moment. But just the rest of the sports news this morning. Sligo Rovers have booked their place in the semi-final of the Extra.ie FAI Cup. They beat Derry City 3-1 on penalties after a scoreless draw at the Showgrounds. Sligo will now travel to Premier Division champions Shamrock Rovers on Sunday for the semi-final. In last night's Champions League action, the big surprise was Liverpool losing 2-0 at home to Atalanta. Jurgen Klopp fielded a weakened side because they have a league game at lunchtime on Saturday. With Ajax beating Michelin 3-1, it means that Liverpool are now just 2 points ahead of Ajax and Atalanta, with two games remaining in Group D. Manchester City, meanwhile, did qualify for the last 16 with two games to spare, courtesy of a 1-0 win last night. Phil Foden getting their only goal. Now, ahead of Dundalk's game tonight in the Europa League against Rapid Vienna, UEFA have banned Dundalk manager Filippo Giovanni from any function of that of head coach. The Italian will not be allowed on the sidelines because he does not have a pro licence. So Shane Keegan will be the main man in the dugout. The big news in Gaelic games this morning, Fergal Logan and Brian Duer will spearhead Tyrone's new Gaelic football management team. The pair were ratified at a meeting of the county executive to succeed Mickey Hart, who left the post earlier this month after 18 years in charge and now takes over in Louth. Logan, a 50-year-old solicitor, will work alongside Brian Duer and Collie Holmes, both members of the Tyrone teams, which won three All-Irelands between 2003 and 2008. The Cavan County Board has denied seeking to move their All-Ireland Football Championship semi-final with Dublin out of Croke Park. They say they look forward to playing Dublin wherever the game is fixed for. In rugby news, it's been confirmed that James Ryan will captain Ireland in the Autumn Nations Cup match against Georgia on Sunday. In the absence of Johnny Sexton, the Irish team will be named today. And today's racing is at Thurles and it gets underway at 12:25. But we're going to continue, Mary, with the Maradona story. We're joined by renowned football journalist Jonathan Wilson, whose books include Angels with Dirty Faces, The Footballing History of Argentina. And Jonathan, in talking about Maradona, there are two elements to him: his extraordinary football skill and then his remarkably turbulent life. For somebody listening who's grown up on Ronaldo and Messi, how would you describe to them Maradona and his skills?
I mean, enormously gifted as a footballer, you know, a phenomenal left foot, incredible balance, incredible awareness of those around him. You know, I think one of the things you really see looking back at those games for Argentina and for Napoli is that those were not teams made up of other great players. They were good players, but they weren't great players. But Maradona took them to that higher level with his inspiration, but also with his tactical intelligence, which I think is something that maybe at the time wasn't quite appreciated. The way he could manipulate a pitch, the way he had that vision of a whole sphere, and that enabled him to get the absolute utmost out of two sides who otherwise would have been, you know, relatively ordinary.
Yeah, he it was the rags to riches story. He grew up in what was effectively a shack.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what it was a shack in Villa Fiorito, which is, you know, a shanty town in Buenos Aires. He described himself as a cabecita negra, a little blackhead, which is the term that Eva Perón, she popularised to mean those of indigenous descent. So Maradona was of mixed indigenous and Italian descent. His father had been a ferryman on the Paraná River. His job had been taking cows back and forth to grazing lands on an island on the river. So very, very humble, very poor background. And I think that's one of the reasons why he chimes so much more with Argentina as a whole than Messi does. And that, you know, that comparison, it's inevitable you make it. In terms of actual skill, they're probably not that different. But Maradona meant more to Argentina because he was seen as representing the heart of the country, whereas Messi, who of course left when he was, 11 years old, whereas Maradona had those years playing in the Argentinian League. But, you know, Messi's family, his father was a manager at a factory. You know, he was, I don't know, lower middle class, upper working class, whereas Maradona was absolutely from nothing.
He was a boy wonder, of course. By 16, he was a big name. And he came to Europe, Barcelona first and then Napoli. And for people who don't know, the Napoli story is extraordinary. It's not dissimilar to the Argentinian story, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he'd sort of flopped at Barcelona. He probably moved slightly too early. So Boca Juniors sold him for a world record fee, largely because they were in danger of bankruptcy. That they'd bought him in dollars, and the peso was devalued very shortly afterwards. So they were left with these crippling bills. So they sold him after just a season, and they'd flogged him through all these friendlies to try and raise revenue. So he went to Barcelona maybe a year or two before he should have done. And he found the environment incredibly different to Buenos Aires, and I think there was not a huge amount of support from there. He brought his family over, but they really didn't settle. So, you know, his mother had panic attacks, and that's when he first began to take cocaine on a regular basis. There was a lot of problems at the club at the time, so he only spent 2 years there. He'd suffered a couple of horrific injuries. The famous one against Athletic of Bilbao, the horrific challenge from Goycochea. He also suffered hepatitis. So he went to Napoli. It was a world record fee, so he was still, you know, respected as a great player. But for Napoli to spend that money and for a player that stature to go there, a club who'd never won Serie A, was an extraordinary deal. And so the footage, I mean, the Asif Kapadia documentary, which is an absolutely superb piece of work, but that opens with him arriving in Naples. And the streets are just packed. There's just people everywhere. And the club, just to get him from the airport to the stadium where he was sort of being officially presented, they had to sort of set up dummy cars to sort of lure people away just to create the space for him to be able to even get to the stadium. And there's that incredible shot, which, you know, I've seen quite a bit out on Twitter and various websites and in various papers over the last couple of days, of him standing on the steps at the San Paolo, Napoli's ground, walking up the steps to go out onto the pitch, and just people leaning in. And there is something almost religious about the iconography of that, that there's him alone on the steps and these great masses around him.
But Napoli didn't have success prior to his arrival, and it was seen as the poor city, and he was representing these people against the rich Italian clubs of the north.
Yeah, so Naples is in the south. There's a big north-south divide in Italy. And there was definitely an almost racist attitude from the big northern clubs and the big northern cities towards Naples and Napoli. And Maradona played on that. He's very smart in how he used that to sort of generate this great movement. And he inspires them to the title first in 87 and then in 1990. And these are the only two titles the club's ever won. They won the UEFA Cup as well. That achievement was extraordinary. And I think in some ways the 1987 title is purer. 1990, the rumours have started about him. There's all kinds of rumours about what happened towards the end of the 88-89 championship when they blew a big lead. And there was all kinds of suspicions about bookmakers getting involved, Camorra getting involved, that they couldn't afford Napoli to win the title again. And Maradona himself had expressed scepticism about that. He'd fallen out with the coach. He was suffering more and more injuries. His cocaine abuse had got worse and worse. You see his body shape changes between the World Cups of 86 and 90. And so to have the will as well as the ability to drag them to that title, the second title, I think is one of the most extraordinary achievements in sport.
OK, well, Jonathan Wilson, thank you very much for that context. Appreciate it.